This is The State of Things. I'm Frank Stachow. Martha Kelly's dream as a teenager was to be a stand-up comedian, but fear kept her from those dreams, and she opted for college instead. At 25, she finally got up the nerve to do an open mic night. First try went well, but the next time she hit a stage in Hollywood, crowd was so brutal they didn't even bother to offer sympathy laughs. And it would be years before she finally gained her confidence back. But once she did find her voice, there was no stopping her. And these days you can find Martha Kelly on the FX series Baskets.
One time I clogged my best friend's toilet by flushing her terrible tuna casserole. Later it seemed like that was one of the things that led to her divorcing her husband. And then eventually to his murder.
From the FX series Baskets with my guest Martha Kelly, who will be in North Carolina this weekend for shows in Asheville and Durham. Martha Kelly, welcome to State of Things.
Hi, thanks for having me.
It's good to have you here. How many times did you try and give up before you finally found your confidence to stay on that stage?
I think I did stand up like once a year for about 4 years in a row, and then I finally just started doing it all the time.
The first time you got up, I mean, talk about that. It's interesting that open mic, you know, having that was kind of the first time you really made it up on the stage, though apparently you'd been thinking about it for a while, and it was successful. I mean, tell us about that.
Part of it is that if people know it's your first time on stage and you're not horrible, they cut you a lot of slack. So that was part of it. But I don't really remember too much about it other than just that it was super fun and I was like terrified the whole time.
Can you do that as a comedian, just go from venue to venue and tell people it's your first time for like 20 years and get laughs?
I mean, I guess you could do that. It probably wouldn't be that rewarding, but you could totally do that.
Now, talk about that second time then, right, that when it didn't go so well.
Well, I just thought, like, I should do different material every single time I went on stage, which was, like, totally not realistic. And then, it was complete silence. And you had 3 minutes before, like, each person had 3 minutes. And I finished in 2 minutes and then I didn't do it again for a year.
And you stayed. This was all in L.A., right? You grew up in Torrance?
Right, yeah.
So, and then talk about going out to Austin. Eventually, you moved to Austin, right?
Yeah, I moved to Austin right about 2 years into doing stand-up. I visited Austin and had a great time and then just decided to move. And it ended up being great because it's a lot easier to get good quality stage time in a smaller place like Austin.
Mm-hmm.
In LA, even like weekly shows with really well-known comedians, sometimes they have trouble getting audience because it's just such a big place and there's so much competition.
So you were able to do it, and you do your comedy is in a persona that we're hearing now, I'd call it a deadpan, a very deliberate kind of delivery. Is that you?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not really doing a character. I think the character on Baskets is not exactly me, but when Zach told me about it, he said, I said, I don't have any acting experience. I don't think I can do it. And he said, you don't have to act. Just say the lines like you would say them in real life. That was kind of how he wrote the part.
Zach Galifianakis, who is one of the creators of Baskets. How did you two know each other? Why did he call you?
I met him at an open mic in 98, and we became friends. And then over the years, we just kept in touch, not all the time. Like, he lived in LA and I moved to Austin, but off and on we would just email or text or once in a while talk on the phone. But he was totally out of the blue when he called me about the pilot. I was very surprised.
Well, what did you think when he said, hey, want to be a TV star?
I was living with my parents at the time doing a really tedious online proofreading job that also did not pay a lot of money. And so even though I was scared and didn't think I could do it, I thought I should try to do the pilot since he was asking me to, and he's so nice, and he made it as unscary as it could have possibly been. So I felt like I had to try just because if it goes well, this could be a way for me to be self-supporting and move out on my own and not have a job I hated, you know?
Yeah.
Just be able to focus more on stand-up between seasons, which is kind of how it has worked out.
And it did work out, and it did go well. It's going into its third season. We pulled together a little montage of your appearances on the FX series Baskets.
I was thinking about firing you, but now I'm not sure what to do.
Oh, I wasn't sure if I work for you or if maybe we're just friends.
TBD, Martha.
How long have you been going with Chip?
We're not.
Oh.
There's no sex vibe between us, no.
What's that?
High five.
For what?
I was trying to help you get pumped up.
Okay, let's do it. Martha, I'm in prison in Camarillo.
Hey, Chip. Oh, my God. It's so good to hear from you. Well, how do you feel about taking a shift in the dunk tank?
You said shift, right? Martha, look, I don't mean to be greedy, but I can't survive on 2 days of work a year. Trust me, I've tried. I like how you took a shower curtain and made it into a dress.
Well, Chip, can we talk?
Martha, you're embarrassing me in front of the barista. I'll just have a hot dog. How old are you going to be?
49.
No, not what year are you born. How old are you going to be?
I'm turning 49. I wasn't born in 49.
Those are some clips from the FX series Baskets. By the way, in its fourth season, I misspoke, fourth season, stars Zach Galifianakis as Chip. My guest Martha Kelly plays his best friend Martha. She is performing in Asheville Friday night at Sly Grog Lounge and then in Durham Sunday night at Motorco Music Hall. My guest now, 49, 50, kind of in that age range, you know, not the age that Hollywood is looking for its starlets. How do you fit on that show, and how do you see that show itself and Zach's vision of sort of where that show fits vis-a-vis the Hollywood vision?
I don't know that Zach thinks about it like that. I honestly don't know. I think that he just had wanted to do something about a rodeo clown that lives in a motel in Bakersfield who has a personal assistant for some reason that he's really mean to. Like, that was the basic idea that he told me about.
But it's hard to wedge Hollywood glamour into that scenario. But anyway, go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, yeah, I don't think he wanted it to be any Hollywood glamour. And and then he just had the opportunity to make a pilot for FX, and that's what he wanted to have it be about. And then he got Jonathan Kreisel from Kroll Show in Portlandia to be the one of the executive producers and the showrunner and head writer. And then they just took that basic idea and added Louie Anderson as the mom, which is brilliant. And a lot of, like, a great cast and just great writers. And they just made it into its own little world. And I don't think it's supposed to be in any way Hollywood.
Right. But it's a kind of anti-Hollywood. I mean, that's really what I was getting at. It's in a way, it sort of works against our ideas of Hollywood. So knowing Hollywood as well as we do, and we're talking about glamour here, that show is even funnier. So in a way, it works. It's that's the backdrop in the back of your mind against which this show becomes even funnier, in my opinion. I don't think that made sense.
Well,
yeah.
I think I know what you meant. So
there you go. Good enough. I want to talk more about that. Actually, I want to talk more about your stand-up because you had some trouble. You went to Austin, but you had some troubles with alcohol at one point, had to go back to Torrance and dry out a little bit, came back and then ended up with another addiction, this time food, right? Your second trip to Austin. So you were trying to pull it together there at first, huh?
Yeah, it's been definitely been a bumpy road, but I'm also really lucky that I've been able to have, like, recovery from that kind of stuff, because the odds just aren't great for people with any kind of addiction. It's just really tough to get free of that stuff. So I'm really lucky.
And your stand-up, in some ways, benefits by that. You can talk about the trips back and forth between L.A. and Austin. And here's a clip from your stand-up that talks about just that.
One of the four times that I've moved from L.A. to Austin, I drove there with my four cats and my dog in the car. And I rented a giant SUV, and I put these big kennels in the back for the cats where I had food and water dishes and litter boxes and blankets. But even with all those amenities, there were a lot of angry accusations coming from the back of the car for a couple hours. And then it just got completely silent. And that made me kind of nervous because I didn't know if maybe they were planning something. So I just pulled over and I called a family meeting and I just, I explained to the cats, like, I know that this drive across country is difficult, but living in Austin again is going to make life better for all of us. And there is no in team. So.
Stand-up comedian Martha Kelly going to be at Sly Grog Lounge in Asheville this Friday, August 31st, Motorco Music Hall in Durham on Sunday, September 2nd. Do you find that Austin is an easier place, a better place for you to work? Is it a place that, you know, you can be more creative? You write better in Austin, or does it matter to you?
I probably just have more fun going to local mics in Austin than L.A. There is a great comedy community in Los Angeles for sure. But it's a lot bigger of a city and really spread out. And in Austin, I kind of live in the middle of town. And so I can get to most places, most shows, like 10 to 15 minutes. Mm. And so it makes it really fun and easy to want to perform a lot. And the more I perform, the more I want to write. So I definitely think it's Austin is easier in that way.
Does it change the way, now that you're on a program like, you know, Baskets, that's now, as we say, in its fourth series, change your way of writing, your outlook, the kind of material you're writing?
I guess I feel like the longer you do stand-up, kind of the more your material changes anyway. I don't really know how much of it is related to Baskets. Like, it's not like my life is really that different the way it would be for someone who, like, goes from anonymity to, like, being famous. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that has an effect on people writing stand-up, maybe, but
a lot of your stand-up was based on the fact that you had crappy jobs, and now it sounds like you like your work better.
Yeah, I love Baskets, the cast and crew, and Jonathan, our director, Kreisel. Like, everybody's, it's just like the most fun place to be, and I love it. Go ahead.
Well, I want to ask you a little bit more about Baskets, because one of the co-creators is Louis C.K., of course, forced out of several jobs after it was revealed that he had been abusing women in the workplace, and is no longer associated with Baskets. Is that right?
Right. So that came out when we were early on in shooting season 3, and FX pretty much severed their relationship with him, like, the day the article came out. Yeah, and he really wasn't, like, as far as I know, he was only ever on set a few days. The pilot is where I met him. I think he was there for half the week. And then season 1, I heard he was there a couple days, but I never was there at the same time. And same with season 2. So he was very hands-off about the show and, like, pretty much told Zach and Jonathan, this is your show. And, like, he was there to help if they wanted it, but he wasn't, like, hands-on and around a lot.
I want to just ask you one more question about Louis C.K., because he returned to the stage this week, I think it is, or very recently, and many are saying it is just too soon. I wonder what your thoughts are.
Well, I might not be the best person to ask because I wasn't one of the people that he hurt. I also understand that, like, somebody can do things that are very harmful and also have a very likable side. You know, I loved his stand-up. I'm sure if I had been there at the Comedy Cellar, I probably would have been like, yeah, he's still really funny. But if I were someone who had been, victimized by someone in the way that he admitted to doing, I don't know that I would be ready to forgive them. But, you know, I'm not really that qualified to talk about it because I wasn't involved in anything like that. But I know, you know, I don't really think that if someone is a predator, I don't think that changing is easy. I think it would take a really long time, and it would have to be someone who was like, I really have to kind of change everything about myself, which is really difficult.
I haven't left you much time for this one final question, but do you have a preference between doing television and stand-up?
I love different things about them. Like TV and movies, you get to spend all day with a bunch of great people in a cast and crew, and it's super fun to just be all day hanging out with really great people. But performing stand-up is easier in the sense that you know right away, did the crowd enjoy this or not? Whereas with acting, like, I never know. I never feel like I know what I'm doing. Even after something comes out and I've seen it, I still am like, I don't have any idea what I'm doing.
Well,
yeah.
You'll be able to figure out how she's doing in Asheville at the Sly Grog Lounge on Friday night and Motor Co. Music Hall in Durham on Sunday night, where Martha Kelly will be performing My Guest. Martha, thank you so much for talking with us.
Thank you for having me.
Sly Grog Lounge in Asheville, Motor Co. in Durham. It's at our website, stateofthings.org. State of Things produced by Anita Rao, Laura Pelliser, Dana Terry, and Amanda Magnus. Robin Copley is our technical director. North Carolina Public Radio is a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stachow.